Even as Hacienda Healthcare transitions to state oversight, more troubling information is coming to light about the Phoenix Care facility where a patient was raped and gave birth. An investigation by the Arizona Republic found the facility's board members have used the nonprofit to boost their own businesses and to hire family members. Investigative reporter Robert Anglin joins us now in studio. Robert, good morning.
Morning.
So let's dig into this nepotism situation. What did you find when it comes to that?
We found that board members' children got jobs for years. Jobs from the lowest level to the highest level, vice president, managers, hourly employees.
For years, you mentioned. This is kind of amazing. For years, how many years are we talking about?
Dozens of years. And when we get into the self-dealing part of it, you can take 30 years. 30 years, board members were making contracts with the hospital. The current board chairman making contracts to deliver insurance policies.
How hard was it to find this information?
It took some digging. You can imagine that they don't advertise that.
And was this something that had been in the works before all this other Hacienda stuff happened, or did this come off as sort of an offshoot of other stuff you needed to look into?
No. My work on Hacienda was prompted by the rape and the pregnancy, which was shocking on its face. And the idea was, or the question became, if this could happen at a hospital, at a healthcare facility, what else could have happened? Mm-hmm. And of course, over the last 2 months, I've done stories on the fact that the CEO was accused for years of sexual harassment and bullying behavior, with some shocking allegations there, including once that he sat through a board meeting by ripping off his shirt and sitting bare-chested through the entire meeting, then the sexual harassment. And then we also found out that the place had been under investigation for fraud, Medicaid fraud, and that the state had previously attempted to shut it down or at least remove its clients.
Well, I think we have to, even though we've only got a couple of minutes, we have to dig into the big picture aspect of this then, because when you talk about this going on for so many years, how much is the state to blame for this? How much could the state have done to prevent at least some of this?
Well, it absolutely raises questions of the state oversight. The state pays Hacienda for taking care of patients. So it's a Medicaid reimbursement situation. So the question is, how often were they going in there and doing inspections? Why was a woman allowed to get pregnant? How come her caregivers didn't know? I mean, this is a situation where a woman was raped and the staff at the hospital, the nurses and doctors, didn't know she was pregnant until that baby starts crowning. Mm-hmm. And of course, she's an incapacitated adult who's been there for 26 years with significant chronic illness. She can't function on her own. So it's incomprehensible.
So are there practical things that could have been done by the state? I mean, even with oversight, what kind of oversight would have been needed?
Well, there's different levels of oversight. That's a straight care oversight. That's a patient-doctor oversight. But the state is responsible for those patients. They are clients of the state. When you get into the financial irregularities, the question becomes, well, who should have been checking that and why weren't they? The state clearly tried to take action in 2016. But it went nowhere. There was a criminal case launched. It was dropped a year later. And now the state would have us believe that they never really dropped it, but they didn't get the records they needed, so they didn't go after him criminally until they initiated a civil suit. Meanwhile, the now former CEO, Bill Timmons, had a history of saying that he was politically connected. Whether he was or not is unknown, but he used that like a cudgel. He would tell people, if you mess with me, I'll get my friend at the state house. I have connections with the governor.
One begins to wonder when you talk about how long this has been going on, if in fact he did have connections or if he just sort of faked it till he made it.
Well, the threat alone appears to have been enough to cause some concern.
Robert, let's wrap up by talking a little bit more about the family members and whatnot. First of all, are they still working for Hacienda, the ones that we talked about getting these jobs? And part two, have they denied that this happened?
No. When confronted with the allegations, the board members have acknowledged that that did in fact happen, and they defend it. They, for instance, the board president.
Which part of this are they defending?
They defend both the fact that their children got jobs, which they say they got on their own merits without the help of being, you know, without the dent of being a board member, and they defend the self-dealing. And we're talking about, it's kind of an interesting situation. Not only are we talking about board members who had direct business with the hospital, but we're also talking about board members who did business with each other outside of the hospital. So the necessary checks and balances become really murky. If you and I are doing business with one another and I abstain from voting, but you still vote on it, what are the chances that you're going to tell your buddy or your business partner no?
How much more is there potentially to come on this for you?
Oh, I think we're still working.
Okay. Robert Anglin, investigative reporter for the Arizona Republic. Thanks.
Thank you.